Welcome to West End United Methodist Church. We're delighted to have you join us for our Ash Wednesday service. If you'll please rise in body or in spirit. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Bless the Lord who forgives all our sins. Now please join me in our opening prayer. O God, maker of everything, and judge of all that you have made. From the dust of the earth you have formed us, and from the dust of death you would raise us up. By your redemptive power, create us to be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Help us to be the repairers of the breach, restorers of streets to live in, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Now let's all sing together hymn number 269, Lord, who throughout these 40 days. Now hear the word of the prophet Isaiah. Shout out, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Announce to my people their rebellion, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet day after day they seek me and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that practiced righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Why do we fast, but you do not see? Why humble ourselves, but you do not notice? Look, you serve your own interest on your fast day and oppress all your workers. Look, you fast only to quarrel and to fight, and to strike with a wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose, a day to humble oneself? Is it to bow down the head like a bulrush and to lie in sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them and not to hide yourself from your own kin. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Children's time right now, so y'all can just come sit right here with me, and any other kids who are out there can come on up. Yay. I'll just have a seat right there while we wait for our friends to come. Yes. Shh. Mm-hmm. I know, we're not. All right, so tonight is a special night, right? Can anybody raise their hand and tell me what tonight is? Yes, ma'am. It's Ash Wednesday, yes. And Ash Wednesday is the first day of the season we call Lent. And so it's 40 days, and it gets us ready for Easter. Lent is a time where we think about some serious things. And one of the two, we're going to talk about two things that we usually think about during Lent. The first one is what y'all just sang about so beautifully. It's about forgiveness. On Ash Wednesday, we think about some of the things that we do wrong and the times we make mistakes. and how we need to ask God for forgiveness and we need to repent of our sins. Repent means to ask for forgiveness. Can you say the word repent? Repent. That means that we tell God we're sorry and we ask God for forgiveness. And the other serious thing that we think about on Ash Wednesday is that one day our lives will be over and it will be time for us to die. And all things die. Plants die, animals die, people die, even Jesus died. And someday that our lives will be over too. And so on Ash Wednesday, we also remember that all life comes to an end at some point. So in a few minutes, everybody is going to come forward and we're going to do something a little strange to help remind us of our repentance and of our mortality, of the ends of our lives. Can you tell me what we're going to do? We're going to put ash on our forehead, right? And that's a little bit strange. It's not something we do every day, right? And the pastors are going to put it in the sign of a cross to remind us that we are loved by God and that we belong to God. So that even though we think about serious friends, even though we think about serious things on Ash Wednesday, God is with us always. All right. So these are our ashes, and ashes come from burned up things, right? And these have a little bit of oil mixed in them so that they can stick to our forehead. So you get to see them up close before the pastor uses them. All right, what we're going to do now is we're going to pray together. I am going to repeat a line, and I need your help to repeat it back to me. And in fact, I'm going to invite the whole congregation to pray with us. So we're all going to pray together. I'll say a line, and then everybody will repeat after me. Okay, let's pray. Holy God, thank you for your love. We are sorry for turning away from you, for the ways we have hurt others. Please forgive us. Please help us to do better next time. Help us to always remember that you love us, that you will forgive us, and that we belong to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, friends, you can go back and sit with your friends and families. Thank you.
Good evening. Can I confess something to you tonight? Is that okay? Excellent. I wish that it was still jazz mass. For those of you who weren't here, yesterday we danced down the aisles to the sound of a Mardi Gras band. We made masks that we wore on our faces. We ate pancakes piled high with chocolate chips and whipped cream. And I witnessed some of you clapping in worship. I was surprised and delighted. The air was joyful. Katie Minnis preached an incredible sermon, and I wish that I had the chance to preach about glow-in-the-dark Jesus. I wish that we could have all stayed on that mountain with Jesus and Elijah and Moses. I wish that it was still jazz mass. But it's not. Today is Ash Wednesday, and we begin to take that turn away from the loud, exuberant joy, and we pivot from the journey up the mountain, and we start the journey inward. For me, one of the hardest parts of this day is being reminded of our mortality. It's my 35th birthday today, so I didn't need for it to be Ash Wednesday to be reminded that I am inching ever closer to death. The day is bittersweet for me, though. In a few minutes, I'm going to look each of you in the eyes, and I'm going to remind you that you came from dust, and to dust you will one day return. I like you guys, And throughout what I hope will be many long years together, we're all going to celebrate birthdays together. And when the time comes, we're going to be celebrating lives, memorial services, funerals. And each year together on Ash Wednesday, we'll pause to think about the fact that one day, this precious life that we have here on earth will be done. To be honest, a year ago today, I was not sure that I was going to be a United Methodist on February 26th, 2020. On this difficult day last year in 2019, the traditional plan passed, and those of us who longed for full inclusion of our LGBTQIA siblings mourned. Our dreams of inclusion turned to dust. And in so many ways, it feels all too appropriate to mark this year's anniversary with a proverbial sackcloth and ashes. You're here, if you're not here to hear your adorable kids sing, you're here to start this ritual, this 40 days plus Sundays leading up to Easter of Lent. During this time, we're encouraged to do something different to help us grow closer to God. And when I was glancing at what scripture was available for us to preach on this Ash Wednesday, I first thought to myself, this Isaiah passage is strange. It's one of my favorite passages of scripture, but it's not talking about individual piety. It doesn't give us a biblical prescription for what we can and can't eat during a fast. It's not giving us an example like Daniel, who fasted to show his loyalty to God. This isn't the Matthew passage where Jesus tells us how we should look and act when we fast. If you're not familiar with fasting, traditional fasting as a practice meant that you refrained from food or some food as a way of showing dependence on God. Sometimes God calls for the fast. At other times, it's instituted by a religious leader. Fasting is a sign of humility, of penitence for wrongdoing, of total surrender to our dependence on God. And during the season of Lent, we are encouraged to fast or refrain from something to bring us closer to God. So it's weird. This passage, though, kind of scoffs at those kinds of fasts, especially if they don't produce the kind of effect God desires. Isaiah is daring to say in this passage that sometimes the way that we do fasts is simply like those masks that we wore last night, a cover-up, a farce. They believe, like some Christians probably do now, if we're good religious people, it'll make up for the wrong that we do in our day-to-day life. In the first two verses of this passage, Isaiah talks about rebellion and sin, and what he's talking about is their fake piety. They're playing the role of holy and righteous, but they're not engaging the poor. It's as if they've never heard of the Levitical code to care for the orphan, the widow, or the stranger among them. It's like they never read or heard the commandment to love their neighbor as themselves. They've forgotten God's suggestion that perhaps they should leave some things on the vine for the poor to come and glean. They made their workers work long hours for little pay, and in some instances even withheld wages. And then they don't even understand why God doesn't listen to them. In verse 3, they're complaining. They said, "We wore sackcloth. We put ashes on our face. We cried out to God. What more do you want?" Old Testament scholar Walter Brueggemann says that worship that is not congruent with humane economic practice is bad worship. In other words, the way that we structure our lives outside of worship is just as important as the way we structure our worship practices. Brueggemann goes on to say, "The God of Judaism is not a God who likes to be flattered in more or less passive routines of worship. This God is out in the neighborhood and wants all of God's adherents to do the same." In other words, you can praise God in church all you want, but if you want to get to where God is, you've got to be out in the streets. The danger for us good church people becomes making Lent and fasting and doing anything religious, even worship, just about us. Lent can be contorted as some sort of contest to see who can be the best, most devoted follower of God. instead of an opportunity to grow nearer to the heart of God. You see, we can manipulate Lent to prove our own holiness to those who can see it. We can change it into something that will help us lose 2 dress sizes in 46 days. We can twist it into being about us and not about what God wants to do through us. And here is where this passage convicts me, and I hope it convicts you too. If we were doing this fasting thing correctly, if we do this worship thing correctly, we will have better relationships with each other. If we're faithful in our fasting, we will care about the things that God tells us to care about. And what do we find in Scripture when we study it and read it and do Lectio Divina over it and pray over it? Command after command after command to take care of one another, particularly the poor, particularly the vulnerable. So through the prophet Isaiah, God is calling us to a different kind of fast, a reordering and a restructuring of our economic resources so that the poor have something to eat, that the workers who work with us and for us will not be oppressed. There are systems of sin that we're complicit in, whether we intend to be or not, and for that, we need to be made aware. When we desire to pay the lowest price possible for vegetables and fruit, it often comes at the expense of wages and working conditions of those who pick our food. And we are all collectively guilty of this. I know I am. And we need to ask God for repentance. The sins that God calls out here in this passage in Isaiah are both collective and individual, systemic and singular, requiring us to ask God to cleanse our hearts, both on an individual and a collective level. Maybe you have already made up your mind about what you're going to do for Lent, or maybe you're like me most years, making your mind up during Ash Wednesday. Maybe you're going to adopt a practice like Meatless Mondays. This is something that the Creation Care team has been thinking about and encouraging you to do. Maybe you've decided to give up alcohol or sweets. By the way, if you've decided to give up sweets and you need somebody to take them from you, I volunteer. At the end of the day, all of these practices are good. There's nothing bad in doing any of this, but only if you don't miss the point. The point is to draw us closer to God. And guess what? The closer we get to God, the more our eyes and our hearts will be opened to those who God has called us to love. For when we truly draw near to God, we will be where God is, in the streets, in the middle of the work for justice, on the side of those who've been oppressed and the downtrodden. We'll be on death row. We'll be in the detention center, in the local school, in the fields where our crops are grown, and in the halls of commerce. I've never seen God more clearly than when I am out there, right where God tells us we should be. I invite you to find your own way into those spaces, be it with the church and one of the many activities that we do to get us out into the world, or on your own. I want to lift up one practical example because I am so proud of them. Right now, downstairs, our youth are serving in Room in the Inn. They are serving dinner to 14 men who otherwise would not necessarily get a hot meal or a hot shower or a warm place to sleep. And the time and the resources that those youth and those parents are giving up, that is the kind of fast God is calling for in this passage. When we go out and do our great day of service on the 25th, that's another type of fasting. When we do justice work, advocating for livable wages, that's breaking the yoke of oppression talked about in this passage. It's justice and it's charity. It's everywhere we are walking alongside our siblings that God has asked us to pay attention to. So don't miss the point. Don't miss the point of what God is calling us to during this season. Don't miss this opportunity to break up every kind of oppression. Because when we do this, God says we will be a well-watered garden, springs of water that will never fail, And because everyone will be treated fairly, paid well for their work, given adequate time to rest, oppression ceased, every day is going to be like jazz mass. Every day we'll have that joy and that laughter, that song and dance, the feasting and the celebration. That's the world that I want to live in. And it's the world we can get to only when everyone is free. The celebration that we had yesterday, that is a foretaste of what we're going to have when we work towards this day. May we all work to live into that kind of world in this brief mortal life that we have. In the name of the God who created us from dust, in the name of Jesus who redeems us, and the Holy Spirit who sustains us throughout this dusty existence. Amen.
My dear family in Christ, the early Christians observed with great devotion the days of our Lord's passion and resurrection. And it became the custom of the church that before the Easter celebration, there should be a 40-day season of spiritual preparation. During this season, converts to the faith were prepared for holy baptism. It was also a time when persons who had committed sins and had separated themselves from the community of faith were reconciled by penitence and forgiveness, and restored to participation in the life of the church. In this way, the whole congregation was reminded of the mercy and forgiveness proclaimed in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the need we all have to renew our faith. I invite you, therefore, in the name of the church, to observe a holy Lent by self-examination and repentance, by prayer, fasting, and self-denial, by being present with Christ in the streets, in the byways and alleyways, by reading and meditating on God's holy word. To make a right beginning of repentance and as a mark of our mortal nature, we now come to this time of receiving the ashes. Will you join with me in giving thanks for these ashes? Holy God, you have created us out of the dust of the earth. Grant that these ashes may be to us a sign of our mortality and penitence, so that we may remember that only by your gracious gift are we given everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. We invite you now to come forward as you feel led to receive the imposition of the ashes. We'll invite you to come as you're able down the center aisle. There will be two stations, perhaps three, after one of us makes our way around the sanctuary. And if you'd like to have the ashes placed on your hand rather than on your forehead, just let us know that, and we will do that. After receiving the ashes, the altar rails are here and open for you to come and pray. This is a time, as Maggie shared with the children, to remember our mortality, to confess our sin, and to receive the grace and the belonging that God offers to each and every one of us. So we invite you to come.
Yeah.
We all have upon us the mark that reminds us of our mortality, reminds us of our need for God and God's grace. And so we join together our voices to confess our need for God in the words of Psalm 51. Will you join me in this prayer of confession? Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions. Wash us thoroughly from our iniquity and cleanse us from our sins. Day after day we seek you and delight to know your ways. Yet we serve our own interests on our fast days. We fast only to quarrel and fight. We do as we please and exploit all your workers, while all the while the fast you desire is to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Do not cast us away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from us. May the Almighty and merciful God, who desires not the death of a sinner, but that we turn toward God and live, accept your repentance, forgive your sins, and restore you by the Holy Spirit to newness of life. Amen. And now will you stand in body or in spirit and join with me in giving thanks for the grace we have found in this place. The peace of the Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord.
Holy and most merciful God, from you comes every good and perfect gift. We give you praise and thanks for all your mercies. Your goodness has created us. Your bounty has sustained us. Your discipline has chastened us. Your patience has borne with us. Give us the heart to love and serve you, and enable us to show our thankfulness for all your goodness and mercy by giving up ourselves to your service and cheerfully submitting in all things to your blessed will. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Hear now this benediction and blessing. Ashes are hard to get off of your forehead. When you go to get them off this evening, I want you to think about the 40 days that are coming up. It's a long time, just like the time it's going to take you to get all of this off of your forehead. And I want to think about the ways that God has called you, specifically you, to remove the yoke of oppression, to be that well-watered garden. I see it in you, and I hope you see it in yourself. Go in peace.